Good to live here. I'm Bill Lubick from Rutgers University and Cooperative Extension, and I'm going to be talking about some of the work that we've done with an SCGB specialty crop block grant that we received, myself, Pete Nietzsche, and our team, to assess the status of our industry in New Jersey. And we also have been continuing to look at new varieties that Dr. Jelinkovic at Rutgers has developed, and we're continuing to evaluate those plants in the field. So I'll touch on that just a little bit. The team, I'd just like to recognize Pete Nietzsche, Matt Milburn, Dr. Jelinkovic, Rich Weidman, Angela, Jillian Armstrong, people that have helped us throughout the project, as well as other colleagues at Rutgers. One of the things I'd just like to point out is that we've had a very good relationship with Norse Farms in terms of producing the Rutgers Scarlet that we've developed, and that's now out there and available. I don't know if anyone here has had a chance to try it in their research trials, but if you're interested in trying it, it's available through Norse, and we've gotten good feedback on that in terms of flavor, so we're very happy for small operations and direct market and UPIC operations. So the objective for this assessment was to evaluate the current status of the industry, some of the challenges that people are facing across the state, to see whether or not we as extension people and as researchers could address some of those issues to try to increase production of strawberries in New Jersey. And then the second part of that Peter and myself and Dr. Jelinkovic have been working on is getting these strawberries out to the farmers. So we've been working together with farmers and colleagues to actually get our new varieties out and about there. So, and strawberry production in New Jersey, it's both matted row and high density systems where we're planting anywhere from 15 to 20,000 plants per acre, averaging 1 to 2 pounds per plant of production. And these systems seem to work the best for us. We have farmers, as you'll see, using mixed systems. They use both matted row and plastic culture, depending on whether they're doing UPIC. So the survey was developed in cooperation with our friends at Rutgers Office in Research and Analytics, and our team got together to develop a 5-part questionnaire with 9 primary questions and up to 122 potential responses. So one of the things that we you'll find is that you got to keep these surveys shorter than what we did, because if it's too long, it takes, you know, it's too much for the growers to fill that out. And actually, for the most part, we sat down with growers. We had to do that because to try to get them to fill them out otherwise. So we went to meetings, and I had some of my colleagues and students actually sit down with the growers at the meetings to fill these out. So the collection, we did get some lists from New Jersey Department of Ag, Farm Bureau, and all of our colleagues throughout the state to try to reach out to growers. But these surveys that were sent out via mail, we got very few of them back. So that's why we turned to actually going to the New Jersey Ag Convention, the Mid-Atlantic Conference that we have, North Jersey Fruit Meeting, and the other meetings we have throughout the state, and spending time with growers during breaks at the end or before the meeting to get surveys filled out. And that seemed to be the best way for us to collect data. So we also did some on-site farm visits, too. We knew some farmers that we wanted to collect data from throughout the state. So I had some people that we trained, and they went through the process of working with us on how to deliver these questions and collect the data for us in the field. And that was also very successful. All the data was collected, put into an Excel spreadsheet, and we collected 75 total surveys, which is approximately 30 to 40% of the total that we suspect in New Jersey. It was really hard to get a handle on the total number because there's a lot of very small operations that we do not think that we've reached. But NASS has a excellent way, a very aggressive way of collecting data, much more than we do in extension. And within the survey, there were 65 males and 10 females that filled it out. And we got a good representation throughout the state of people that were growing strawberries, and it's just a little map outlining where we did collect data from. So it gave us a good snapshot of a portion of the growers and what's going on. And the total strawberry acreage that, from the data that we collected from 75 growers, was about 154 acres, but we suspect that there's probably well over 300 total acres within New Jersey, but this was just based on the people that we could reach. And that's based on working together with NASS and identifying some other growers that we didn't get a chance to survey. And these blueberries and wine grape numbers are actually much higher, but with the growers that we interviewed at these meetings, that was the data that we were able to collect. Also, we asked the growers, you know, do you want to increase your production of strawberries, because we're mainly focusing on strawberries, decrease, and most people were going to stay the same. About 22 out of the 59 growers that filled this out said that they were actually going to increase, and only two said they were going to decrease their production of strawberries. So our goal was, you know, one of them was to figure out what's going on, why would they decrease, or, you know, what's holding them back from increasing their acreage. So we looked at some of the important challenges that they were facing, and we asked them to rate the challenges as important or not important or very important. And in that, you know, marketable yield was one of the challenges, you know, trying to get enough yield in the field based on the limited window of opportunity for harvest. Looking at disease pests, disease are a problem, you know, during the season when we're harvesting. We get botrytis. We have other issues that we need to control with open canopies as much as possible and good airflow. Insect pests were another problem that many of the participants reported, along with weather, of course, which we have no control over. You know, we did do some work with low tunnels, and we're continuing to do that, but we're going to have a speaker talking about that today. Weeds, of course, are a major problem, especially in some of the organic farms where they have limited weed control options, and also vertebrate pests, especially deer in our area. Deer this year were horrendous, and the last couple of years have really done some serious damage to all of our crops. And then we looked at one of the questions we wanted to really zero in on is, do you think that growing strawberries and small fruit have a greater impact than just the dollar value? And I know for our own family farm, because I've been farming with my brothers for 40 years now, and we know that strawberries are a piece of the puzzle that we have to have, because after asparagus and after greens, we come in with strawberries, and the strawberries are really what keep people coming back to the farm, because we do a lot of direct marketing, and most of my farmers are direct marketers. So they're selling directly to the consumer. They're doing U-pick operations. And 88% of those growers said, yes, growing small fruits and strawberries is very important for us, not just for the dollar value that we get from the strawberry, but for keeping people to come back and buy other things. And some of the attributes that people commented on that they look for when they're looking for strawberry varieties, of course, is flavor was number one for our direct marketers. Yield, size of the berry, so they're easy to pick, and they stand out. Disease resistance, yield later in the season, a little bit less important. Storage quality was somewhat important, but not that great, because a lot of people are eating them the same day or the next day. Adaptation to our seasonal conditions. And then yield earlier, we had about 38 people respond out of 65 that said the yield, early yield, was more important. And part of that, too, is if you have early frost, you know, you're in danger of, you know, losing your strawberries. So pulling those covers off at the right time and making sure that you're, you know, you've got adequate protection of those strawberries is very important. When we looked at, you know, what people were doing within the state, a very small number of people that we surveyed were actually using high tunnels, only 1.5 acres, and this is out of 68 growers. What we found interesting is people were using both plastic culture and matted row. So it was pretty much almost equally distributed, more plastic culture, high-density plastic culture. And our organic growers now are starting to use plastic culture, not biodegradable, because as you heard yesterday, they can't use the biodegradable, but we do have them using some of the other plastics. And the price per pound, which we had a maximum of $4.66 per pound, with an average of $3.36 per pound of the growers that reported from our survey. And that the minimum was $1.50. Now, I have to go see who the growers getting $1.50 per pound, because that's really low. And, you know, I know in our operation, our particular farm operation, you know, we would never go that low. So that was more of a commercial operation that was not selling direct marketing. Okay, so we looked at production trends. 55% of survey respondents indicated increasing their retail sales. 2% of survey respondents indicated decreasing retail sales the next year. And 43% are going to keep strawberry sales about the same, or kept strawberry sales about the same in their operations. And when we asked the growers to tell us a little bit about their farms, the average years in farming is about 28.3 years. Full-time farmers, 58 full-time farmers and 16 part-time farmers. And the average acreage that they were farming was 63 acres. And then we asked, does farming generate 50% or more of your income out of those participants? And 68% of the participants said that, yes, farming is generating more than 50% of their income. I'm going to just skip through here a little bit. One interesting point is that total gross farm income, if you look at farmers making $50,000 or above, you know, there's a correlation there, as you'll see in a minute, but we were surprised at the number of growers that were incorporating strawberries into their operation, and the gross income that they were making, not on strawberries, but overall, but strawberries were a small part of their operation, maybe 1 to 3% even, many of them, in terms of their total income, if that. But even with that, they said it was an integral part of their operation in terms of bringing customers in. And when we did a comparison analysis, that's what we found. You know, really, one of the things was, and it's obvious, is that high-income farms, you know, over 250,000 is what we consider a high-income farm in New Jersey, tend to have higher farm acreage. And higher income farms are more likely to have full-time versus part-time people working on the farm and managing the farm. We also looked at a comparison between gross farm income versus more value of the crop, and you know, reporting back to us that the value of growing strawberries was more important to them. And 86% of the respondents said yes, but there was no association between you know, the dollars that they were making versus the importance of strawberries and small fruit to their operation. So no matter what their income was, it was very important for them to have strawberries in their operation. And in terms of full-time, part-time, we also found the same thing, that there was no difference between full-time and part-time in terms of them reporting that strawberries were an important and a valuable crop to their operation. And just some quick grower comments. You know, strawberries, they came back, and a lot of the growers had some very interesting comments. And, you know, one of them was, you know, strawberries are very important to us, you know, with tailgate markets especially. They bring people in that season. We keep our customers coming in regularly, and that helps them with their overall business no matter what they're growing. And diversification is very common in New Jersey, so we have growers, you know, growing from apples to zucchini. I mean, we have a lot of diversity on our farm, so strawberries are just one small part of it. So in conclusion, small fruits and especially strawberries are important for direct marketing farmers, independent of income level or full or part-time status. Survey respondents reported that flavor, yield, and size, and disease resistance in that order were the most important attributes for strawberry varieties. Their greatest challenges to growing small fruit were marketable yield, disease problems, insects, weather, weeds, and vertebrate pests in that order. 55% of growers are planning to increase their acreage of strawberries in the next season. So I'm going to stop there. And just wanted to mention that we're in the process of patenting several other varieties, and hopefully Peter and myself and the team will have those out within the next year. This is the Rutgers Scarlet. Okay, let's see here. How much time do I have? I have time for one question. Anybody have any questions? Okay. With that, let me escape from here.